Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Itaúsa's conference call to discuss 2020 results. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. Should you require assistance during the call, please press star followed by zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. The file will be available at the company's website at www.itausa.com.br/en at the investor relations section. This conference call and the slide presentation are being transmitted via internet as well. You can access the webcast by logging on to the company's website, www.itausa.com.br/en. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Actual performance could differ materially from that anticipated in any forward-looking comments as a result of macroeconomic conditions, market risks, and other factors. I inform that during the presentation, the questions can be sent by webcast, and it will be answered at the section of questions and answers. With us today, we have Mr. Alfredo Egydio Setubal, CEO and Investor Relations Officer at Itaúsa, Mr. Henri Penchas, Chairman of the Board of Directors at Itaúsa, Mrs. Priscila Grecco Toledo, CFO at Itaúsa, Mr. Bruno Salem Brasil, Investor Relations Manager at Itaúsa, Mr. Renato Lulia Jacob, Head of IR and Market Intelligence at Itaú Unibanco, Mr. Pedro Zahran Turqueto, Vice President of Strategy at Copagaz, Mrs. Mariana Espírito Santo, Investor Relations Director at Alpargatas, and Mrs. Natasha Utescher, Investor Relations Manager at Duratex. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Alfredo. Sir, you may now begin.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the participation of all. Okay. We have on page two, on page three, sorry, the agenda of the conference call that we are going to cover in the next hour. First, the scenario. Second, the highlights of Itaúsa's portfolio. Third, Itaúsa results. Fourth, we have a presentation of Copagaz, the new investment that we started to participate this year. And at the end, the Q&A section. Going to page five, we had a very difficult environment last year, especially in the first semester of 2020, due to the pandemic of the coronavirus. But we take some actions in our company, also in the holding. The bank supported clients with a 50 billion renewed of loans, especially for the sector of individuals with 38 million reais and small and medium-sized companies with 12 billion reais that we renewed for longer loans, supporting the clients during especially the most worst periods of the pandemic. We also supported clients providing credit during this period when our portfolio of credit showed some growth, especially in big companies and also in vehicles and real estate loans. We, of course, in all the companies, we work hard in terms of costs and expenses to reduce and to preserve margins and be more efficient. From June and July on, we started to see more results from the companies, all the companies. The industrial sector started recovering related to the real estate. Duratex had some very good second semester, also the same with Alpargatas. And even the bank, we have more revenues as the economy restarted to some level of activity. In all the companies, we accelerate our digital business, e-commerce for the industrial sector, digital for clients of the bank in terms of opening new accounts, new apps for clients. So we improved a lot in terms of digital penetration in all the business, in all the companies that we have participation. And of course, we gave support to all the employees of our companies for their families. And fortunately, we had very few cases of the disease among our employees during this period. On page 6, we show some actions that we took last year to help the country to fight the pandemic. Itaúsa and the families that controls Itaúsa and all the companies that we have participation, we have combined a donation of 1.5 billion reais for supporting actions against the donation, and making Itaúsa Group the biggest private donator among all the companies and families in the country. We created a corporate governance commission to support the corporate governance of all the companies that we have participation and also at the Itaúsa level. We make our adherence to the Pact of Integrity and Against Corruption from Ethos Institute, that is the most recognized institute in Brazil related to these issues. So we signed the pact. And also we became part of the Financial Times Index for Good of companies with good S&G reference index. So we were very happy to also participate in this new index that Itaúsa can show their capabilities. Then on page 7, we have a challenging year for most of the companies, of course, but we tried to have an efficient capital allocation for this period. In the case of the bank, we unlocked the investment value, especially related to XP, the company that the bank is giving his stake to shareholders of the bank. We invest a lot in digital strategy also in the bank to face the new challenges for the competition and also to help clients to use more digital apps and facilitate the use of the bank, digital opening of new digital accounts and so on. In the case of Alpargatas, we continue the policy of by investing and focusing our investment in Havaianas brand and Osklen. And we did a big focus on e-commerce, both in Brazil and outside Brazil, in terms of e-commerce, and we increased a lot Havaianas e-commerce, and for example, in the international markets, around 40% of our sales already is through the e-commerce in many countries. In Duratex, we continue to increase efficiency. We continue our investment in the dissolving wood pulp unit. The investment is in the schedule. We expected in March, April of next year to start the operation. That is on schedule. So we are very happy that we could maintain the rhythm of the investment during the last year, even considering the adverse conditions that we have there. And in the case of Duratex, also, we finished the integration of Cecrisa, that was the company that we bought at the end of 2019, with the Ceusa that we bought some years ago. And we finished this integration with very sound results for the company. NTS continues its constant and predictable cash flow. The company continues to perform very well. On the page 8, we have our location of the new investment on Copagaz that we are going to talk more detail of this investment with Pedro, that is here with us today to talk about the deal and the company and so on. And we are very happy and confident that it is a good investment, and we have very good results and for the coming years with the company. And also the XP that we are going to have direct investment as the bank restructured its participation on XP, giving the investment to the shareholders of Itaú Unibanco, as all of you know, and Itaúsa will have 15% of the capital of XP and will be the second largest investment of Itaúsa in terms of portfolio just after the bank and above the industrial investments that we have in the portfolio. Going to page 10, the highlights that we have in our companies during last year. Starting with Itaú Unibanco, we grew our loan portfolio by 20%, especially in vehicles and small and medium-sized companies, and also in large companies, especially during the beginning of the pandemic for large companies in the first semester of last year. We continue to decrease and control our general expenses. We reduced by 2.3% and continue to invest a lot in reduction of expenses and the use of more technology in our operations. We focus a lot, as I said, in the digital transformation of the bank in terms of digital customers, online opening accounts. We have a huge increase in digital transactions with our new and former customers. We bought a company, Zook, to accelerate. It's a technological company that bring us more than 2,000 engineers and people to accelerate our systems and apps for the coming years. So we also increase the team inside the bank. So we finish the year with more than 3,700 new employees totally concentrated in improve our digital in technology investment for the bank. In terms of results, due to the level of increase of provisions that we made for loan losses, and from the reduction of the economic activity during the last year, especially in the first semester, the results of the bank reduced from 27% from 2019, with a result of 19.1% of recurrent results for the bank. That at the end was a good result considering all the adversities that we faced during the year. The loan portfolio increased, as I said. The bank supported the customer base, giving credit and renewing credit. Our portfolio increased 20% and a total of 873 billion reais in terms of credits for customers. On page 11, we see the highlights for Alpargatas. We increase in all the regions the volume and the market share of the company. Especially, we use the digital e-commerce to increase our participation. We continue to divest and focusing in Havaianas and Oscar. We finished this the right off of the investment that we had in Argentina. We sold all the investment there. We finished and sold the Mizuno operation in Brazil. So we are just now with Havaianas and Oscar in our portfolio. We had a difficult first semester, as I said, but we had a very good second semester, especially last quarter was very good, and so we were able to finish almost in the same level of net income of 2019, around 450 million reais, and also we keep the EBITDA of the company at the same level. So also a good result considering the circumstances. On page 12, highlights of Duratex. The Duratex had a very difficult second quarter, but from June, July, we started the recovery. We have a very good result, and all the factories finished the year with full production. The company was beneficiary of the real estate boom here in Brazil, and we are able to increase results by almost 92% compared to 19, and we finished the year with a recurrent net income of 528 million reais against 275 in 2019. EBITDA also increased a lot last year to 1.3 billion reais, was a record level for Duratex. For both Alpargatas and Duratex and the bank, we continue to see recover in 2021. So we expected the good results from the second semester to continue in this first semester for all investment that we have. In the case of NTS, we have an increase of 6%. We received 232 million reais from dividends and refund of capital from MTS, 10% above the number that we received in 2019, and continue to be a good investment in terms of cash flow for Itaú. On page 15, we talk about the main metrics and results of the company. We released net recurring income of 7.2 billion, with a reduction of 26% compared to 2019, especially because the reduction of the results of our main investment, that is Itaú Unibanco, that we, as I showed before, released a reduction of results around 27%. We finished with a stockholder equity of 57 billion reais. On page 16, we see the capital structure. We have debt 2% of our assets are debt. It's still low compared to the potential of Itaúsa. We have here at the corner of the right side of this page 16, the amortization schedule for these debentures that we issued. The last one was in December 2020 to face the investment in Copagaz of 1.3 billion. It was a very good deal for us. It was a 10-year debenture with a cost that we consider very good of interbank rate plus 2.4%. On page 17, we continue the practice of distributing the dividends that we received from the bank. Of course, last year, the dividend received by the bank was lower because of the limitations of the central bank imposed to the banks of only distribution of 25% of profits. And we passed through all these dividends to our shareholders. 1.7 billion reais were distributed to our shareholders with a dividend yield of 5.5%, continues to be one dividend yield highest among the companies that are listed in the B3 here in Brazil. On page 18, we see that the sum of the parts of our portfolio values 127 billion reais at the end of the year, and the market capitalization of the company was almost 99 billion reais, what means a discount of 22.7%, considering the market value and the sum of the parts. We announced yesterday, we approved at the board of directors of Itaúsa a buyback program of 250 million shares for the next 18 months that we consider may be a big opportunity for the company to buy back shares, considering the perspectives of the companies that we invest and the discount that is very high in our view, considering the portfolio that we have. So we open again a buyback program of 50 million common shares and 200 million preferred shares. On page 19, we see that the company continues to be a very attractive investment, especially for individuals here in Brazil. We finished the year with 886,000 shareholders, mostly individuals in this number, and we already had more than 920,000 shareholders, individual shareholders, by the end of January. We are improving our corporate website to attend the demand for both institutional investors and especially the individuals. To attend that demand, we are launching this coming day a new website, more easy, with more information, more tools, and more simulators for the individuals and institutional investors can use the site. And also we are improving and increasing our social media networks to approach more information, be more close to our base of individuals, shareholders. Now I pass through the word to Pedro Zaran Torqueto, that is the Strategic Vice President of Copagaz, that will talk about the company and the rationale of the acquisition of Liquigas by Copagaz and the investment of Itaúsa in this company. Please, Pedro, go on.
Thank you, Alfredo. Good morning, everybody. My name is Pedro Zaran Torqueto. I'm VP of Strategy and Markets of Copagaz. Here in the page 22, we're going to talk a little bit about Copagaz and Grupo Zare, that is the holding who used to be the owner of Copagaz before the entrance of Itaúsa. We Grupo Zare have two branches of business. We have three TV broadcasts and radio stations and websites in the Middle East of Brazil. And we have the energy side that have the Copagaz as the biggest company on that area. The company was founded in 65 years ago by Luiz Zare and his brothers in Campo Grande, state of Mato Grosso do Sul, Brazil. We passed these 65 years without doing any acquisition, so we grew organically by this time. At the year of 2019, we started looking for an investor to help us to acquire Liquigas, that used to be a company from Petrobras, that is a state-controlled company. And we decide that the family decide to join with Itaúsa because we thought that we have the same ethical principles and also a long-term strategy. Here in the page 23, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we do. So we are a distributor of LPG. We have plants that are nearby refineries, and refineries in Brazil is basically from Petrobras. These plants are linked by pipes to the refineries. We got the LPG from the refineries. And we call these refineries that are linked by pipes as a primary plant. So in that plant, we transport the LPG for our secondary plants that are not linked by pipes, that they are far away from the refineries in cities like Goiânia, Cuiabá, Campo Grande. And on that plant, we have two types of business. We sell gas by cylinders and by trucks. In the business of cylinders, we have 5,000 resellers from all around the country. These resellers have the look and feel of Copagaz or Liquigas, and they do the last mile for the final clients. And in the bulk business, we build tanks in the companies, and the companies could be restaurants, malls, industries, and we do the logistics of this gas in order to provide the products for the clients. In the next page, I'm going to talk a little bit about what is Copagaz before the acquisition of Liquigas. We used to have 9% of the market share in the year of 2020. We used to sell 660,000 tons of LPG per year. 76 of these amounts by cylinders and the rest in by book. Our revenue used to be 2.75 billion reais. Our EBITDA used to be 138 million reais, and our net profit about 50 million reais. In the next page, I'm gonna talk a little bit about what is Liquigás before the acquisition. They used to sell 1.5 million tons per year. They used to have 21% of the market share, around 6 billion of net revenue and 215 million reais of EBITDA. On the page 26, I'm gonna talk the reasons why we decide to acquire Liquigás. First of all, it's a unique opportunity in Brazil. With 9% of the market share, it's gonna be very hard to us to survive in this market because scale is very important here. The landscape of this market is to open the midstream. On that term, as a commodity, if you have scale, it's gonna be very important to us in order to have a good terms to buy LPG. There is a optimization of logistics footprint. Liquigás operating areas that we don't operate. There is a lot of scales in synergies. Liquigás used to be a company from Petrobras, so there was a lot of bureaucracy in order to fulfill what a state control company needs. The scale in this industry, as I told before, it's very important as well. We are gonna gain a lot of scale. There is something that we didn't anticipate when we bought the company, but there is opportunity of new use of LPG in Brazil. We have old regulation here that don't allow us to produce energy or use the product in motors. There is the fact that Liquigás used to spend a lot in modernization of their plants, so they have a state-of-the-art unit. It's very important for us. In the next page, I'm gonna talk a little bit what is the company, the Copagaz plus Liquigás, what is the company post-acquisition. You can see in the map that Copagaz didn't use to have to work in the north of the country, and Liquigás have a good position over there. The company together, we have, we sell 1.88 million tons of LPG per year. That number make us the biggest player in Brazil with 25% of the market share. In the next page, I'm gonna talk a little bit about the macro highlights of the combined company. We are gonna have 5,000 resellers from all around the country, 15,000 points of sale, more or less 10 million household servers per month, 4 LPG cylinders delivered per second, over 30,000 companies served, more than 90,000 direct and indirect jobs generated, 8 billion in revenue, 1.6 billion in tax paid. The company is gonna be market leader in Brazil and the largest LPG distributor in Latin America. In the next page, I show the volume of the both company in 2019 and 2020 of the companies combined. You can see that in the year of 2020, you have 2.2 million tons sold. This is a fact that originated by the change of consumption during the pandemic. So people started cook more at home and use more gas. So we have a growth on the consumption. We have a growth also in the net revenue, it went to 8.8 billion reais. And in 2019 here, just the number of 3 years ago, the company together have 350 million reais EBITDA and 157 million reais in net profit. In the page 30, I'm going to talk a little bit about the capturing of synergies and where is that synergies. We have 25% of these synergies in footprint and logistics. We have 37% of the synergies in SG&A, 25% in procurement, 9% in IT, and 2% in administrative costs. In the next slide, I'm going to talk a little bit what's going to be our goal here long term. LPG is basically a fossil fuel. You can provide LPG from biorefineries as well. But mainly it came from natural gas or oil. But the burn of LPG, it's a clean burn. So in our gas, the LPG is going to be the energy of transition that's going to guide us from the world that consumes a lot of fossil fuels for a world that uses more renewable energy. As I told before, we reach more than 10 million houses in Brazil, reach more than 30,000 companies. So we have a lot of data here, and we are going to generate these data and try to provide products for these clients. Better products and solve problems to them, analyzing these data. We also have opportunities here in midstream. We have a lack of infrastructure in Brazil, in the northwest and in the north of the country. So there is opportunity here for us to verticalize and develop LPG terminals, ports, and start the trading of the gas. In the last page, I'm going to talk a little bit about the what we are going to do in the next 1 year. So we are very focused right now in the capture of the synergies. The entrance of Itaúsa changed our governance. So we are improving a lot our governance. We have a board that's that are in the business group, in three of these board members are appointed by Grupo Zara and two of them from Itaúsa. So we are learning a lot about the governance of Itaúsa, and they are improving our internal governance as well. We have a new brand. We are going to launch a new brand, and we're also going to stay with the brand of Copagaz and Mitigaz. And both brands are very important and have a lot of recognition in the country, and you have to use that correctly in order to have gains for the company. We have this process of digital transformation. We already started that, but we are going to invest a lot on this subject. And we are hunting for new LPG suppliers. Like we know that Petrobras will sell some refineries. We know that these markets will open sometime in the near future. We already start buying LPG from Bolivia and for Argentina as well, and we are looking for new providers of our raw material. Basically that, I'm gonna pass the word for Alfredo.
Thank you, Pedro. We are going to the last part of our presentation before the Q&A section. On page 34, our commitment to long-term and value creation. On page 35, we see the Itaúsa and the capital markets, how the performance of our shares in the last years. Of course, in the recent period, more affected by the reduction of results, especially from the bank, our largest investment. On page 36, some ratios of Itaúsa. I think we have a very active portfolio management now with the M&A group, and at this end, we work with a very disciplined asset capital allocation and focus on value creation for our shareholders. We have, in our view, a consistent portfolio in terms of sustainability of the business in the long term. We have a long-term vision for the investments that we made. We look for cash generation and consistent results from our company that we invest. We continue to look for companies that have not only cash generation, strong cash generation, but also leading brands and leading market share. In the capital markets, we continue to have a very good payout, very attractive, as I said, 5.5. That puts Itaúsa also in the level of the largest companies that with the best payout in the stock exchange here in Brazil. We also participate in the main indexes of companies, especially those here in Brazil and outside related to ESG performance. We have a very important commitment for a long time along our history for decades on the ESG activities. We have a good important look at human capital in all our companies. We have good corporate governance practices in all the companies that we invest in terms of ethical and strong reputation of our partners. On the last page, what we expect for 2021. Economy is still volatile with low growth, but we consider that our companies will perform well even though this environment. Duratex will continue to benefit from the real estate boom here in Brazil. Alpargatas also will continue to get benefit from the consumption area. We expect the company to also, like Duratex, to have a very good year. The bank will get the benefit from this recovery from economy, with more credits, reduction of costs, and strong growth in terms of digital transformation. We expect in the coming months to end the restructuring of Itaú Unibanco investment in XP, and we at Itaúsa, we became direct investors of XP with 15% of the shares of XP, and this investment will be the second largest in our portfolio. Saying all that, we pass through the last part of our conference call. That is the Q&A section.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session.
If you have a question, please press star key followed by one on your touch-tone phone now. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star followed by two. Please restrict your questions to two at a time. Our first question comes from Tito Lombarda with Goldman Sachs. Please, Tito, you may ask.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call and taking my question. I got a question on the stake that you'll be getting in XP. Just wanted to get your thoughts on your intentions with that stake, if you plan to keep that or sell it down over time. And then also how you think about the potential share class swap, where you would receive Class A shares instead of the new co-shares you have and the potential loss of voting rights. Just kind of your thoughts on that, if that's a concern for you. Any color you can give on that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. It's a very interesting question. I think the deal that Itaú Unibanco made with XP in the past when we became through the bank shareholders of XP, the deal was that at the end, after many years, the bank will get the control of XP. This deal was changed by the central bank at the end of the approvals, and the central bank prohibited the bank to assume the control of XP in the future. That condition changed all the business, all the rationale of the business. Of course, we accepted this and we keep the investment in XP, even though we are not going to get the control of XP at the end. When the bank decided this, to change this and pass through the shares of XP to its shareholders, it doesn't make sense anymore for Itaúsa and for the shareholders of the bank to maintain these multiple voting shares of XP. We accept and we approved with XP in a shareholders agreement that we made with them last month, that we will accept the proposal of XP and we vote favorably in the shareholders meeting of the XPart company to have the shares absorbed by XP in the common shares and not multiple voting shares. And why that? Because we Itaúsa and XPart level, we don't see this investment as strategic. So we don't need the multiple voting shares, and we prefer also to have a share with more liquidity in the market, in the Nasdaq market. So we have to remember that Itaú has almost 500,000 shareholders. So all these shareholders will receive shares of XPart and at the end of XP. So it's important for them to have liquidity to sell at the time they want to sell this investment in the market. So that's the main reason that because we negotiate with XP to receive only common shares of XP after all this incorporation of the new XPart in XP
Inc. Thank you. That's very helpful. So, and just to clarify, and I think you have a lockup, I think, until October. Yeah, you mentioned this wouldn't be a strategic position in XP. I mean, do you think it's something that you would sell right away, you would sell over time? Just how you would view that investment, I guess, as a minority passive investment, or how you would think about potentially getting rid of that stake over time?
We consider XP a very good investment. We like the case. We think XP will continue to grow in the market, to continue to grow its profitability. So we see XP as a very good investment for Itaúsa shareholders, and we are very happy to have the part of our portfolio. But at the same time, we, in our material fact, we wrote that XP is not a strategic investment for Itaúsa, because we are making investments and diversification in sectors not related to financial services companies. So the idea that we have is that in the coming years, without any rush to do that, we can reduce or even sell all the participation that we have in XP and use this capital to buy new companies or to buy back shares of Itaúsa or to pay debt or to pay dividends. I think we can use this investment, the capital result from these sales, in many ways that will benefit our shareholders through investments, through reduction of debt or repurchasing shares. I think we have no hurry to do that. As I said, we believe that XP is a very good investment, and we will help XP in their performance and to help them in the board of directors that we have two members there. We continue to have two members there. So we will continue to help XP to have a good performance, to be a lead company in the investment sector. And we will reduce as we think the price is correct, or we have other opportunities to use this capital in benefit of the value creation of our shareholders.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
We have a question here related to this XP also investment that came from the web, asking how the shareholders of Itaú will get these shares. What will happen is the first step, after the restructuring of the bank, a new company will be created. That this new company will be Shiftpart. Shiftpart will have the same shareholders, of Itaú Unibanco. This almost 500,000 shareholders that I mentioned before. The second step is the incorporation of this Shiftpart company in XP Inc. So at the end, all the shareholders of Itaú Unibanco will receive shares of XP Inc. That is tradable in the NASDAQ, and probably XP also will establish a BDR program here at B3 for these shareholders can be able also to sell these XP shares here at B3. So it's like a bonus, or it's like a dividend that the shareholders of Itaú Unibanco will receive. I don't know if Renato Lulia can complete this explanation.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Alfredo, and thank you for the question. Just clarify the second part of the question, Alfredo, that Renata asks whether it would be a dilution or a bonus issuance from Itaú. It's neither nor, which means that it's not going to be either a dilution of the current investor base of Itaú Unibanco, nor the bank will issue a bonus in order to give its current shareholders a participation next part. What's going to happen, as Alfredo just explained, we're going to, as soon as you get the regulatory approvals, Itaú Unibanco will spin off its participation XP, which means that for every share that you hold on Itaú Unibanco, you're going to also have one share on XPart. Important to mention as well that until the moment that, as Alfredo mentioned, that either XPart is listed in B3 or XPart is consolidated within XP, and therefore you know, the investors on XPart get an XP share, the participation on XP still will be traded inside Itaú, which means if you hold an Itaú share, even post spin-off, Itaú is going to be traded at B3, including XP. When we have clarity about either the date that XPart will be listed on B3 or XPart will be consolidated, merged within XP, we're going to announce to the markets with what's going to be the X date. And from that moment on, you're going to have one share of Itaú Unibanco and one share of XPart. I hope that clarifies, but just to be absolutely clear, there will be no dilution nor a bonus issuance for Itaú. It's simply a spin-off of XP participation on the bank.
Our next question comes from Jason Moling with Scotiabank. Please, Jason, you may go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Well, I'll stick on the same theme for now. I just wanted to ask about tag-along rights for Itaúsa shareholders in XP and how that would work. I did read something about tag-along rights. And secondly, about the strategic outlook for the portfolio, the investment portfolio at Itaúsa. I mean, you've mentioned for some years now, particularly when you were making some of the more recent acquisitions, that the strategy would be to maintain Itaú at about 90% of assets. Now, post XP spinoff, we calculate using market prices that Itaú Unibanco would be around 69% of NAV and XPart would be around 20%. So indeed, as you mentioned, the second largest. And then we have Duratex at around 4.5% and Alpargatas at about 5.8%. So is that, and I think from what you were saying about strategically, Shispay is not a long-term investment, or you don't see it strategically in the long term being held. I guess another option that you didn't mention, but I think indirectly I see the discount that Itaúsa is trading at to its NAV, but could this cash at some point be used to actually increase the stake in Itaú Unibanco? And would it just be a matter of what the discount to NAV, if that makes sense for Itaúsa? Because there are some tax issues, et cetera, that justify some discount, in my opinion. But maybe you could provide some color, tag along, and how do you see the long-term positioning of Itaú Unibanco as part of the asset base at Itaúsa, and should it go back to 90%?
Hello, Jason. Thank you for your question. We signed already with XP Inc. Shareholders Agreement. And in this shareholders agreement, as we released, we have some opportunities to sell parts of the stake that we have at XP if we wanted to do that. For example, we have some block trades opportunities, I think it was 6 per year, if we decided to sell, and we think we have a good price or a good opportunity to use that money. So we have this opportunity to sell through block trades. And also, we have the opportunity, if Shispay decide to make an offer in the international market, we can participate with them in a secondary basis and then in the primary basis. So we have both ways to sell if we decided and when we decided to sell any stake on Shispay. Through the Shispay deals in the market or through block trades that we can do standalone if we decided to do that. In the case of the dilution, yes, the stake of the bank will reduce, as you said, to around 70%, 75%. Depends, of course, on the quotations of the shares. But we believe that in the coming years, only by the growth of the bank, the result of the bank, and the bank is so huge, it's so big, that compared to the other, all other stakes that we have together, that we believe that along the years, this stake in the bank will also be around the 90% that we have before. But of course, we will not be very, very soon. But we believe that this probably will happen in some years organically, only by the results of the bank. We will take us back to this level of around 90%. I don't know exactly when. But we continue to invest in other companies. We are not considering increasing our participation in the bank. This will depend a lot on price opportunity that maybe we can have, but we don't see increasing our portfolio at this moment in shares of the bank. As I said, we believe in Shispay. We will help Shispay through the board of directors to continue the pace of growth in the investment area. We think Shispay is a wonderful case. That's the reason the bank bought Shispay in the past, some years ago. But of course, as we mentioned, Shispay is not a strategic investment for Itaúsa that wants to diversify outside the financial services companies because we have this concentration already in the bank that will continue to increase the concentration, as I explained before, and also because we see that we as controller of shareholders in the long term, it's very difficult for us to remain as shareholders of Shispay because Shispay and Itaú are competitors in the markets of investment market and in investment banking, and Shispay has a bank and probably will increase their shares in other banking products. So the conflict of interest between Itaúsa and Shispay will increase along the year. So that's another reason that we think is important to reduce and even to sell all the investment that we have in Shispay in the coming years. I think that's all. I answer all your three points. I think so.
Yes. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
This concludes today's question and answer session. Mr. Alfredo, at this time, you may proceed with your closing statements.
Thank you all for the participation. I think we have a very good conference call. We are very confident in the investment that we have. I think all the companies will have a very good year with the recovery of the economy, with the, all the actions that we took and are taking in these companies. And so we are very confident that we are going to have a very good year in terms of performance of the, our companies. And probably we are going to receive more dividends from the companies, from the bank, and we'll continue that practice of passing through the dividends that we receive from the bank to the shareholders of Itaúsa. We are confident that our dividend yield will continue to be very good compared to most of the companies in the B3 that are traded here in the market. So we are very confident that we are going to have a very good year, and we are very confident in the investments that we make, that we have, and we continue to look for more investments. If appears a good investment that makes sense and a good price that makes sense to the value creation of Itaúsa for our shareholders. Thank you for your participation, and see you in the next conference call related to the first semester of results of the year. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That does conclude our Itaúsa's 2020 results conference for today. Thank you very much for your participation.